guys, welcome to Teachers Off Duty Podcast. If you aren't familiar with us, I am Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in fifth.
I'm Tel Williams, or Mr. Rome's pre-K on social media, and today we have a special guest with us. Did I say guest or guest? Guest?
I thought you said guest.
Guest and guest. I don't know how to say words. Eddie B.
You heard him. What's
Hi.
Up?
Hi.
Eddie B. Comedy. You already know what he is.
I have to say, like, I was literally watching your TikToks this morning just because, like, they'll pop up on my For You page every now and then, and, like, I just cackle laughing because your commentary is just so accurate.
Yeah.
Which we felt that. The, like, voice of the people.
The voice of the people.
I love it. We're talking. Speaking of things that we love, we're talking about parents today, yeah?
Did we might not love that? All of them.
We might not love them all.
I love
we
most
might not,
of them.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I feel like we all
maybe
have,
not all of them.
I feel like universal, kind of like your TikToks that I see. Parents are both a super fun part about teaching than a fun part about teaching.
And I think it depends where you teach too. Because, like, depending on the school you teach at, like, I feel like I've only taught at two schools in my career, and there were an entirely different set of parents at each of the schools. And I don't know if that's, like, do you agree? Is that, like, a thing? Because you've taught at different schools, right?
I taught different states.
You taught at different schools?
I'm a journeyman teacher. Yes, I've taught, like, four or five.
Okay.
Do
you think that's true? Like, do you see, like, differences in parenting, like, from different
districts?
All the time.
Well, do you see them?
Yeah.
Some of them you don't ever see.
Yeah.
That's true.
My first job was at an alternative school, and they're there for a reason. You saw no parents. Sometimes you're the only parent them kids going to get.
Exactly.
So from there, I went to another school, like one or two. And I've taught public school my entire career, so I haven't had the luxury to get a lot of parent support.
Yeah.
Oh, but let something go wrong, though.
That's when you see
they
them.
They're going to bust up in that. My baby ain't do that. My baby don't do that at home. I say, you loud now. I see where you get it from. It's you.
They don't do it at home. Always gets me. I'm like, don't.
It's their favorite line.
Right.
It's their go-to.
100%. And then something will happen, and the parent calls you. I'm like, I knew they did it at home. You lied.
They
you
never.
You gaslit me. It is weird. So I did public school, the Head Start program in Indiana. And the parents, I think because that program, you have to apply to get in, and there's a point system. So I think once the child's in, they're excited about that. Like and so it was weird, my experience, because it's the opposite of what everyone tells me. When I was at public school, I was a Head Start kid myself. So, like, I came from nothing. Like, we lived in poverty. So we applied, we definitely were allowed to be in Head Start. The parents are involved because they're like, they want their kids in this program. They know that it does well. And it felt bad because you wouldn't see parents. And it was because I had to sit there and be like, I know you could either take a point at work to come to school at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday to do a parent teacher conference, or I'm just not going to see you all year, which sucks. And I'll call you at 6 p.m. when it works for you. And then I went to private school thinking, oh, the parents are going to be involved, right? Those were the ones I could never get a conference with. Like, those are the ones who, like, it was like they would drop off because you had to drop your kid off. There was no bus for the private school. But that's... I feel like I had involved parents, but it wasn't as involved as the public school, which was weird to me. So I would run back to public school any day.
I honestly, at my school that I'm teaching at now, I like the parents. Like, the parents are there. It's like a nice mix. Mm-hmm. Like, you have some parents that are, like, really interested in helping and, like, want to be there and, like, want to come to conferences and want to talk to your kid. And it's like, even if a parent, okay, so, like, I just had a parent a few weeks ago literally call my class in the middle of the day. I don't know how it went through on my phone, like, because the phone system at our school is supposed to send it straight to voicemail and then you answer, like, later in the day. And it didn't. It rang. So I picked up the phone thinking it was, like, the office or something. And then it was this parent. And, like, her daughter is so sweet and so smart. And she was, like, panicking about her grades. And she was like, my daughter's been on honor roll every single year. I don't understand why she's, like, getting these grades. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, is this girl failing my class? Because I didn't have her grades in front of me. So I'm like, is she failing? Like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. So I was like, okay, well, I'm in the middle of the class right now. So let me look at her grades and then I'll give you a call back at the end of the day. And she kept going on because she was, like, you could tell she was so concerned. And I was like, I promise you, I will give you a phone call back at the end of the day. I'm like, I just can't talk about it right this minute. And so later that day, I looked online. This girl has straight A's in every single one of my classes.
Oh, helicopter
and
parent.
I was like, why is she panicking? So I called her back and I said, I'm like, I'm not sure, like, where you're getting the idea that she's not like doing well. And I'm like, she has straight A's. I'm looking at them right now. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, I saw a couple papers come back with like a point taken off. I'm like, it's okay to lose a point. It's all right. Like she'll be okay. That means she's learning and she's not going to know everything when she's coming to school. That's why she goes here. And she was like, just hearing the panic in her voice because she cared so much about her daughter's grades. Like I would take that parent any day. Yeah. A parent that is like, I want to know that my kid is doing well because I value education. Like that is what foreign. I want.
This is let me apply where you at.
Well, I don't have all, those aren't all of the parents, obviously. Yeah. You know, I have a mix of them.
That's cool.
But that one I was like, okay, this is a nice problem to have.
I think that got a lot to do with the structure.
Yeah.
When you saying you taught at public school and they had more than a private school, I think in that situation, probably private school, like we paid all this damn money. Yes. Okay, and we 100%. Did all that stuff to get them in there. Y'all, it's you. But at public school, I think it has a lot to do with the school and the community. Yes. Sometimes they have public schools that demand parent support, involvement. And so I think that is like where I'm at. I mean, with the schools I've worked at, you better get a good look at them and meet the teacher because you'll never see some of them. All of them are in Texas. Okay. It's a little different, man. I worked at HISD, and that's one of the biggest districts, but it was one of the roughest ones, too. And I be saying it on stage. Sometimes you get these parents in that they don't support you.
Yep.
Like and they don't test to get in. The kids don't test to get in. You don't get a chance to pick your kids. So you get what they give you. We don't always get the cream
you
of the crop.
You get what you get.
Sometimes you just get. Sometimes you just get crop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can place that O and crop with an A. Yeah. Hello. But we work with all these kids though, and it'll help we get parent support. That's like we got some kids.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta. We cherish those good kids, the Chick-fil-A workers. Okay, Chick-fil-A working kids. You'll get that one class for the Chick-fil-A workers. All the rest of them.
Explain that.
McDonald's and Popeye workers. I know. I'm like, I hope I'm not the only one not getting this.
All of those are McDonald's and Popeye workers. I guarantee you. This is all I'm saying is you've been to Chick-fil-A before.
Yeah.
Okay. That line can be wrapped around the corner. Okay. It can be wrapped around the corner.
Always.
In 5 minutes, you're going to get your food and a great conversation from a teenager who you wish you taught.
Okay.
Now, okay.
And McDonald's and Popeye workers, you can go to McDonald's. You're the only one in line. Feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
You still might not get your damn food.
And the ice cream machine's
broke. Okay, and then when they give you your bag, you pull off and you got condiments. They ain't gave you your burger, right? So all I'm saying is they group these kids. You know, y'all still got color code cards in the beginning of the year?
No,
wait.
Okay. Well, you know, they classify the kids in the beginning. They had to fill out these cards. They don't have them no more. Okay, I'm anxious. Don't worry about it. Some schools still have it. Don't worry about it. I say you need to group them as Chick-fil-A workers, McDonald's and Popeye workers.
Oh, they grouped the kids.
Yeah.
That is a metaphor I've never heard before.
And that's interesting because they group the kids. They make kids sign this little card, but you get everything in one class. You ever had a class where you get SPED kids, ESL, language, different level learners, and then you got low-level kids? Everything in one class, and you got to get them to the same level. And that's why the parents support. So, but no, they say, hey, Mr. Brown, you got low level kids. I say, no, it would be an honor to have low level kids.
Yes,
I got low level, slow level, hell to the no level, whoa level, level. I'm talking about like it's kids that'll make you look at the camera. They come in your classroom doing crazy stuff. You look at the camera like, you don't know, you just put this in my class. What I'm supposed to do?
Office moment.
Did you have cameras in your class?
Yeah, they tried to. I don't care. The cameras can see you. They can't hear you.
I was gonna say, I'm like, we don't have cameras in the classroom.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. They gonna sneak something on you.
I mean, I tell the kids that.
I do too, the little red dot.
No, I tell them, because like our Wi-Fi router is at the top of the ceiling by the projector. So I'll tell the kid, I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna go look at the camera. Are you telling me the truth? Because I'm in elementary school.
Okay.
So, yeah, so like- they're like, you know, they're like, yes, I'm telling the truth. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go look. I'm like, okay, I checked the camera. You're telling the
truth.
I hope they're not lying.
Weird camera thing. We had a parent, and she was a helicopter parent.
Well, I thought you should say something else. Don't worry about it.
She was a helicopter. No, she was a helicopter parent, but she. It was really hard. We'll call him Bobby, and she was convinced that she was like, Bobby's being bullied, and I was like, that's like one thing I don't do in my classroom. And they're also in pre-K. Like the kids, you know what I mean? There's no way he's not being bullied, and so I didn't know how to tell the parent like he's the bully. And I was like, then we found a conversation, I'm like, he's just like, we need to work on like being polite or whatever. Mom then had to find something else to be worried about.
Yeah.
Mom asked our health director, Head Start has like a mental health director. And she was like,
school y'all work in, man.
It's a Head Start program.
I know, I'm so like, I don't know that either.
Head Start's a federal Head Start's a federal program. So you got get yeah, and it's a health and human service program, even though it's a school, so it's not under education, which is why they have can have money.
I did my preclinical at a Head Start.
I love it. But so this mom called and she's like, I'm afraid that Bobby isn't going to the bathroom. Can Mr. Wims text me on the tablet to let me know when he poops?
Hey, boo-boo. Text me when your baby boo-boo.
I'm not. So, and our mental health person's like, so you want him, she's like, just like when he comes out of the bathroom, just like, if he can tell Mr. Wims that he pooped and then send me the, I'm not going, I can't do, I cannot sit there and type up a tadpoles or what's the other thing? Not a, why do I think go noodle? What's
a
the
dojo?
Message? A class dojo. Be like, hey, Bobby came up to me. Let me know he pooped. Like, I'm not doing that, man. Just ask him when he gets home.
Hey, I want to let you know Bobby boo-booed. Okay. Yes. Bobby boo-booed today. Bobby just boo-booed again.
This is pre-care world. You're probably like, what is going on?
No, Bobby Duke.
Those are conversations that I'm like having with parents. I'm like, hey, baby.
I will let you know when your baby boo-booed. All the time. I got an objective on the board.
I was like, huh?
Excuse me, guys. Wait, I gotta let Bobby Mama know that Bobby just boo-booed. Okay? No.
It was wild to me.
But I had a similar situation last year. I had a student who, like, he was the one that was antagonizing other kids, and then he would go home and tell his parents the complete opposite.
He was getting bullied.
And his parents, like, I get it. Like, your child is your pride and joy. You want to protect them at all costs. I totally understand that. But, like, when we're showing you the footage and your child is not, you know, the victim,
when
but
you can
the
see the
person,
recess video of them smacking someone,
perpetrating the crime, like, I don't know what else to show you. And
take
like,
up for them.
But there, I mean, there are some that are just like, I choose to believe my child. I'm like, okay. But if I'm showing you literal evidence.
And there's time, like, for me, I think you, like, I agree with that. Like, especially when it comes to other, when it comes to kids, like, dive in a little bit deeper as a parent, like, but I also am like one of those things, like, if a kid comes home and they either tell you something like outlandish or something, initially believe them and then investigate, because like
calmly
100% if a kid's coming home and saying like this happened, calmly be like, okay, and then inquire what happened, because most of the time you're going to find out, especially young kids, something was a misfire. But if a child's coming home and being like, my teacher slapped me, investigate in a very you try to figure out what happened, but like, you know, like,
no, I have people ask me in my DMs all the time, like, what, like, they'll give me a scenario and be like, what would you do? And I'm like, I don't want to give you any parenting advice or what. Like, 90% of the time, I'm like, just communicate with your teacher. Yes. Like, just ask them to have a conversation, to have a conference with you, and tell them about this. Because sometimes kids, like, have issues that are going on that teachers have no clue about, because it's happening, like, behind closed doors.
Exactly.
Like, it's happening in the hallway when they're walking to lunch. And, like, you know, in fifth grade, I don't have to walk them all the way down to the lunchroom. Or it's happening in the bathroom when I'm not in the restroom with them, you know? So, I mean, some parents, like, I get it. You go from 0 to 100 because that's your baby.
Oh, yeah.
But just try to take a deep breath and just say, like, hey, I'm gonna talk to your teacher about this.
Yeah.
And we'll get this figured out.
Exactly.
And that's all you have to do. Like, we're a partnership. And I think sometimes, and we've talked about this before, I think sometimes parents, like, if they had, like, a negative experience in school, or they, you know, have had something that has happened to them as a parent with a child in school, they hold that in their heart and then keep that with every experience going forward. And it's hard when you're, you know, the teacher that's like trying to combat something terrible that has happened to this parent when they were in school or to their child, you know?
You play therapist. I was going to say, you play a trauma therapist.
You play therapist,
That's why I'm in school and, you know, studying clinical social work.
So I can be
the parent's therapist.
I know you studying something when you said calmly do it. I'm like, no, my son, come on. I know. Parents know their kids, man.
That's my thing.
You know your kids, and don't act like you don't know your kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I tell a joke on stage, but it's not, I don't tell jokes on stage. I be talking that real.
It's real.
It's real life. Like, they take up, this is new parents, man. They will take up for their kid before they even hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you say, it's video evidence. He doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll find something. No, he did. Like, right. On stage, I say, she's like, he don't do that at home. My son is a Christian. I'm a Christian. It's a house full of Christian. I say, I put my head over the receiver and I tell God, hey, you better get your little crooked disciple, because she don't know who she's talking to. Basically, you get on the phone. Sometimes you got to tell them. You don't care about getting rolled up again. I say, look, man, ma'am, you need to call the police. Okay? because I'm thoroughly convinced it's a stranger in your house. Okay, and I'm finna hit up admin and ask them why they done enrolled a ghost in my classroom because we both don't know who we talking about. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I say, look, man, ain't nobody bullying him. He bullying everybody in my classroom.
That's
I don't
my
recognize
thing.
Who you talking about. I didn't know your son was named Jademian, ma'am. I've been calling this boy Jademian the whole first semester. I hang up in her face. I don't
and
even
he's
care.
He's taking us to church this Sunday.
All I'm saying is, look, it's rough when you got to go through this with the parent and they don't like act like they don't know their kids. You know your kids. Well, don't front like right, you don't know.
And it's always, here's the thing too. It's like when, this is the wild thing for me. I've had parents come up to me and be like, I'll be like, Barbara is like the sweetest child. Thank you so much. And they're like, that's not the kid I see at home. And that's when it's funny. When they admit,
okay,
that's the kid I see at home. And I'm like, what? They're like, she is screaming. She's yelling at her siblings. She's like hitting them. I'm like, I had one student. We're going to call her Barbara. Please don't let me say her name because she's just the cutest kid ever.
Don't
Thank
worry.
You. Barbara. So Head Start, you can have the kids for 2 years.
Okay.
This is talking about like, you know, your kids being on like every variety. 3-5. Can you imagine having a new 3-year-old and then a 5-year-old in the same classroom?
Oh my gosh.
So they can be there for 2 years. Barbara was there the first year, did not talk. Never said a word. And when her parents came for conferences, I said, Barbara, she said, we want her to talk. And they're like, what? I said, if she can just like say what she needs to point in, they're like, she's so loud and screams at home.
Whoa.
The second year, I have Barbara again. And my goal was, I just want Barbara to feel comfortable enough to talk.
Yeah.
And we're like a month into school. We're doing something called Music Together. If you know what that program is, it's amazing. And you go around and the kids get to introduce themselves as a character. And she doing it, and then she would just kind of sit there and she would just nod, and we accepted that, and she went Mickey Mouse and had the lowest voice. And after that, I was like, I didn't want the kids like, Barbara talked, I'm like, let's not make it a big deal, because then she won't talk again. Couldn't get her to stop after that, like constant all year. So it was funny that was the case.
That's funny.
The parents were like, no, that's not how she is at home. And I was like, these parents are lying to me. Yeah. I swear she doesn't talk at home.
I had a kid, this was like one of my last straw like situations. The first school I taught at, you know, anyone who's been listening to the podcast for a long time, I've talked about it over and over and over again, the experiences I had at that school. It was very rough. And I had one student my last year there who he started actually in my friend's classroom because there were 4 second grade classrooms. He started in the one and he was just having a lot of trouble in her class and just couldn't behave during the day. So they were like, the parents were like, it's the teacher, it's her, move him to this person's room. And so the admin was like, okay, and they took the kid and put him in my class, and I had him for the whole rest of the year, but like in between then, like on days when he would be, you know, acting up in my class and I would, you know, either reach out or call home or whatever, it was my fault. And the parents were like, they were like, you're just like that other teacher. Put her in this class or put him in this class.
Common denominator.
But they wanted us to swap him from room to room to room. I'm like, there's not going to be a difference.
And that's such a, that's such a disservice to the kid.
Right.
It's like, I love that parent who's like, I love my, like, I think I said a couple episodes ago, like I've had parents that are like, I genuinely love my students. And I think you have to, because there's one, the pay's not great. 2, it's stressful. And 3, like you're asked to literally like save a child's life every day. You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to love them. And so when I have a parent that one, like it's like thinks that like hate their child, it's not the case. But
or like
parent,
you have it out for them.
Yes. But a parent coming in and being like, I know that Bobby's a little difficult. Like my favorite thing, I've talked about this before. I had a parent who, first of all, doing at the private school, the one thing I did like is I think because the parents felt bad that they weren't always there, or like they dropped the kid off at after school or before school care at 7, then they pick him up at after school
later,
care
later,
at 6.
Later. Yeah.
But I know they got to work at 12. It's like, you know, they would come with like one parent put a bottle of, they got me a bottle of wine and put their kid's picture on it, which was so funny. They will like, Christmas time is the best one. Just like, it's just really hard being a teacher right now. And it's just late hours. And they'll just like throw money at you for like your like, Christmas gift. But it's like those parents of like, that can like recognize this is hard. I get that.
Oh my gosh.
But then the ones that are oblivious to, I'm like, baby, you know.
No. One of my friends, Mrs. Miller.
Okay, yeah,
Ms. Miller on TikTok. So she was telling me, she teaches at a private school in California. And she was like, oh, I had this one student one time that like their parent gave me a Starbucks gift card every Friday and was just like, thank you for teaching my kid. I'm like, I have never had that. I'm like, I want a Starbucks gift card every Friday.
Tab.
I know. I'm like, send me some coffee money. Like, I don't get that.
Did you, what's like, have you ever gotten gifts from parents? A wild gift?
just the little bull crap gifts from the kids, the half-eaten Takis, the homemade. I had a little boy write a note in my class talking about he worked on it all day. Boy, I sat and watched you write the note right there. But I will say this. If you're a teacher and you have kids, you're that parent.
Yeah.
That's going to do for the teachers because you know how it is. And, you know, I spoil my son's teachers. Well, a lot of them know who I am. But right. on top of that, they see what kind of parent I give them gift cards. I'm a big gift cards. Yeah. And sometimes I send stuff to the whole kid. I know.
Yeah.
And you just don't – that gesture alone will help out. And parents just don't do that sometimes because I figured it out. It's not nothing to figure out. You try to be politically correct, acting like they, you know, miss us as educators. Say this on stage too, but don't. Yeah. A lot of them, if you want to be honest, they miss us as they babysitters. Okay,
yeah.
They,
100%.
We give parents 8 hours to chill or relax or whatever it is they do, and they do their thing, and then boom, they feel like, oh, it's your turn. You know, and then they pick them up. It's back on us.
I think what's frustrating about that is like it was so opposite end of the spectrum with parents, especially at Head Start, because their kids were with us all day. So it's like some of them they're going to be late to daycare. This is not a daycare. This is absolutely not a daycare. Yeah. And if you're using it as a daycare, reevaluate, because this is not a good place for them to be if you think it's a daycare. This is a lot of work for a kid. And if you don't think they're ready for school, but then, I think the frustrating thing is if you're treating it like a babysitter, right? And some parents do, some parents don't. Some parents value that they're there for growing your mind or being a good sit. I don't know, educating themselves. But like, I'm not fancy with words. It's the morning. But like. The frustrating thing is like, then let us partner together because we are. I'm not the parent, and I don't want to be. I don't want to be a parent, but we are helping you raise your child. So you have to trust that person in that classroom to have those conversations. Then we'll hand off, like, partner with your kid's teacher. We want that.
If I cook, wash the dishes.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You can come over and wash my dishes.
No, one of my biggest pet peeves is like when a parent has an issue with a student or not a student with a teacher. And they openly like trash talk the teacher or the school in front of their kid. It's like you're showing your kid, like, it's okay if you have an issue with, you know, with me as their teacher or with the principal or the school. Like, come to us as adults and talk about it, as like have a conversation about it. Don't say that in front of your kid, because now you're showing your kid it's okay to disrespect their school, their teacher, their principal, whoever. And like, we're never gonna get them to behave or to do what we want them to do, to learn. If they're having in their mind that, like, well, my mom doesn't like you and my dad doesn't like you, he says this and that, and so I can say this and that, you know?
They're indirectly promoting that behavior. You see it on social media now. I mean, I put out videos all the time. These teachers send me these videos. I don't have to search for them.
Yeah.
Of kids just fighting teachers and beating them up. And what this latest one where a teacher took a kid's cell phone because it was a no cell phone policy on campus, and the kid wanted it back, and so the kid got physical with the teacher, la 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 la, and then they sent me a video of the parent saying, because the kid got suspended, he should have been expelled.
So, like, the parent made a video.
The parent, not a video, but parent put out a post, my king, you'll be back in 4 days, and just didn't say nothing about, oh, you shouldn't have did that, but, you know, she was like condoning his behavior.
Encouraging it.
I know everybody is saying this about you, but you're my, I feel the positive stuff. Be positive with your kid, but talk about the stuff that is. So basically, he gonna go back to school like, man, my mama says, my mama loving on me, I can do it again.
Right.
No.
When kids are get physical with their teacher, and again, it's different for me. I teach young kids. I'm like, there's something going on. Right?
We both experienced that.
And you can jump there and say they're doing it because of this, but I think there could be maybe they need like a psyche eval, right? Because I know parents, I really pride myself being able to read people. Like, that's why I'm going into like becoming a therapist. I can read people well. So when the parent comes in, like, I don't know what to do, but the child's very physical, and the child's getting physical with the parent, like, there's a lot of things as a teacher I put up with, right? And I resigned full time, and then was in grad school full time, and now I don't say only subbing, because subbing's really hard actually. But
hard as hell.
Had a really overwhelming day at school, and I got home and I was talking to my husband about it, and he's like, "Tell, what is wrong with your arm?" And this student had just completely scratched up my arm, and I was like, "I'm done. Like, I'm done."
That's what's wrong with my arm. I'm done.
And it was so easy. I taught full time for almost 10 years, and my 10th year is now subbing. I was devastated. So I remember going in, it was the easiest decision. I was like, I'm burnt out. And like, and the thing that was said too is that parent was amazing. That parent, I like, would have called me, they're like, I'm so sorry. Like, and they were like, are you quitting? Because like, I'm not quitting. Like, that was the defined, that was like the moment. But I loved that kid was the hard thing too. Cause I could sit there as, I didn't realize he was hurting me because I know he was in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got home and I was like, oh my God. Like, and it was that I wasn't getting, the parent wanted support. I wanted support. The other teacher in the room wanted support.
Yeah.
It was the, so that was a pain. I loved that.
That's
parent.
My biggest thing too. Like, I wish that more schools had like mental health centers for students, because there's so many kids that experience trauma and have like so much to unpack when they come to school, and they want to come and dump that all on you. And it's like they need someone to tell that to. It's like, I'm not the person to tell that to because I am not a therapist.
Right.
But you should have a service here to have someone to speak with. And like, you know, I know schools have guidance counselors, but now they, like, our poor guidance counselor at my school.
Guidance counselors need guidance counselors.
Exactly. Right. My guidance counselor is now a K-12 guidance counselor. And, like, I know she also helps run with, like, the testing administration, and she also does attendance. And I'm like, the guidance counselor is supposed to be a student resource, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why is most of her time.
I'd be going to the guy. I'm going to be sitting on her couch and I'm going to be like, let's talk about my trauma.
Yes.
No, I don't want to trauma dump on you, but man.
But I think that's like, that was one of the biggest issues at my old school, was that there weren't resources for these kids that they needed. And I mean, I had the same experiences. Yeah. I got hit and punched and kicked and like,
You're not
y'all better than me. Y'all better than me. And you know what? I'm hearing all this stuff, and on top of all that, we got to try to teach.
We
got to backtrack and unpack, and he got trauma, and he got a learning disability, and she went through something at home, and we got an objective on the board.
Yeah.
You want to come observe me.
Yeah, and I'm like,
come on, man.
So today we were going to talk about trauma, but let's talk about numbers. And like, that's when you want the parent to step in and be like, parent stepping in. I don't know why this came to my head. Did you all have classroom grandma? Dang it, you guys are so much. This is why it's hard having older people's.
No.
What is it?
Classroom grandmas.
No.
You didn't have classroom
grandma. You said grandma.
Grandmas, classroom grandma.
Like
a grandma
like the
church that would mother? Come sit in your classroom?
Yes.
Like the,
like
no.
Each classroom had a this is, did you all have classroom grandmas?
Is this a student or an actual parent who called a grandma? A grandma?
No. Is this
a grandmother?
Maybe this is an Indiana
thing. Actual grandmother?
So a grandparent.
Who adopts a class, basically, is the grandparent.
Yeah, so it's someone's grandparent.
Like, come volunteer.
Boy, yeah. Grandparents are 36 these days.
Did you have that, or do you do that? You're the mom. I'm the mom. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Can I have one of you? Because I don't have one.
It's like a volunteer, maybe. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a volunteer. They aren't there every day.
I got you.
But, like, if you do, like, a class party or whatever. See, well, it for heads. See? Look at that.
Okay.
That's a class. I think they do class, like, and it's not just grandmas. It can be grandpa, class dad. Because we had a class dad 1 year because that, like, the parents can. You can get money for Head Start with called an in-kind form. So if a parent volunteers in the classroom, they sign a thing. If they were there for 3 hours, it's equivalent to like $14 each hour.
Okay.
And that's money that the grant gets, you get back. I don't know how this works. I don't know anything about money.
I got you.
But like, that's how it works. So,
you sound a class dad.
I know. It doesn't come to me.
I got you.
Yeah.
But still, I ain't know about $14. I'm trying to figure out what $14. I'm going to get $14.
No. It's always the parent subjects that are like, a head turn, because we had parents that volunteer, but then we had parenthood events at Head Start where you like taught parents how to parent. Like, that was part of it too. Head Start's social work. It's not
So at my school, like, we have a new committee. It's called NNPS, and it's National Network of Partnership Schools.
You know, I was gonna ask you what that means.
Yes, I know.
So
I'm on the committee, and it's basically like an elementary teacher, the principal, high school teacher, principal, superintendent. We have a school liaison, and then we have two like seniors that are on it, and then a community member, like senior
citizen.
And like, it's all about like building your school community and like getting parents invested in the school and like having, you know, open events for like people to come to right in the school. So like for that, they were like, okay, each class has to have two parent volunteers for like the Halloween party. And I'm like, So like, I sent a letter home and I said, if you're interested in volunteering, please fill out the bottom of this form and send it back to school. I have 17 students.
None.
I got one dad.
And he was like, maybe. I was like, I'll try to make it.
He's like, I'm interested. I'm like, you're on. Like, you're coming because you're the only one.
Do you volunteer at your kid's school at all? Are you?
Nope.
I'm okay with this. I ain't gonna lie to you. Here's the thing, but like, that's okay because you said you get gift cards.
I go to the what you call those, the teacher, the conferences and stuff like that. I do my civil daddy duty, but you know, if they ask me to, I will. I'm super busy, but I will if they do. But I don't just volunteer.
Wait, busy, what do you mean? Yeah. It's not like you're touring the country or anything like that. It's like, you know, busy being famous.
If they ask
me
to, I'll do it. But they know I'm open to it. I'm, you know, I'm not finna just volunteer. Like, hey, you know, I'm available. I come up there if you need me to.
Yeah. What did you? I had to ask this. What did you teach in middle school? Was there a subject or was it like
science?
We had two.
We
science
just had
teachers.
Science teachers.
Okay. Well, I taught. Well, my last teaching job was math and science.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Math and science.
I
totally let everybody help me who knew about math. Oh, I had push-ins, pull-outs, breakups, all that. You can do that. You can come to my classroom, take whoever you need. And I had a higher score in math than I did in science that year. That's why I went ahead and left, because I'd have came back and my score probably would have went down. I left on a high note. I left like Jordan, baby. Just left like Kobe. I scored 60 and I dipped out.
That's so funny to me. Oh my God. So I don't know. I'm kind of shook right now. Hold on. Sorry. I can't.
It's okay. I have that effect on people.
I don't get that. So math, did you go to, did
math
you,
is it, hard.
Do you like math? Or did they just like need a math teacher?
They needed, come on, you know how I go. They needed a math teacher.
He volunteered. I want to do math.
You had to be good at it. There's no way that they would.
Yeah, but you know, I think it was more the support. I allowed people who really knew what they were doing. Because I had a lot of kids who didn't speak English well.
Okay.
So there was a teacher there, a support system liaison. That was her whole job, to bridge the gap with the ESL kids. And I just let her just do it. And it worked out. It worked out. I did what I could do. And then I let her do the rest, man.
Yeah. I have a new fear. I'm going to have nightmares. I'm going to have nightmares of a principal being like, Mr. Romans, you're going to be teaching math now.
Listen, you say that, but that was my literal reality.
They just
my second year teaching.
They're scared of numbers.
I taught second grade my first year. In my second year, I started in second grade. We had small class sizes. And then in January, a teacher in the sixth grade quit.
In the middle of the year.
That's
normal
now. The fifth
grade
teacher got moved to sixth grade, and I was the only one licensed. So they moved my class in the middle of the year. They moved me to fifth grade. I'm a second year teacher. I've never taught anything above second grade before.
And moved
them
to a total
jump. I had to teach a self-contained classroom. So I had to teach math, science,
everything. Yeah.
Oh my God. I had a panic attack. I was like, we had a math coach at my school, and I was like, you need to be in this room every single day. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And these kids are going to fail if I don't have help.
That's real.
What math level?
Like, you went from second grade to
second to fifth.
Okay,
so a second grade standard would be like adding and subtracting double digit numbers within 100.
Okay.
Fifth grade, multiplying and dividing fractions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do that now.
No, yeah, I'm good on that.
I'm better at it now, but like it took years for me to be comfortable teaching math in the upper elementary.
They have calculators for that.
They're scared of numbers.
And they can't use calculators.
I'm scared of numbers.
Anyway. Things I'm a little scared of, actually, that we're going to do today is I know, like, we always see our kids eating all kinds of weird things.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it would be fun if we tried some of the snacks that students eat on the daily at 8 a.m.
All right.
And it's 11 now, I guess. It's not quite 8. So we're
right.
Gonna,
so oh, we're not getting the full effect of, like,
you
how
wanna,
it is for
he
kids.
Wants to start right off. That's fine.
Oh.
What are we going to? Should we rate what we think these are at 11 a.m.?
Yeah.
I actually do like these, though.
But, like, I'm not lying. My kids will eat that at 8 a.m.
Oh, my kids come in with it.
Come in with
the
a bag of flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah, breakfast.
That's why I'm shocked. I'm like, how did we get COVID? How
I
did
actually
COVID
want one because I'm hungry.
8 a.m. Cheetos. You think you'd be immune.
This
is like, right. Are we
okay, I'm scared.
This is probably loud. I'm so. Can you turn the mic down while I'm chewing?
Mm-hmm.
No,
I'm gonna get two because I'm hungry.
That's good.
No.
We're gonna rate these out of an Eddie, and I give these a 10, an Eddie 10, an Eddie B.
I'm gonna
10.
Oh no! Give me a bag. Take the bag from me because I'm gonna eat some more.
Hand it this way.
What?
All right.
Great. Ooh, instead of an Eddie. Okay, we'll grade them. I give that an A minus.
I give that a C.
Oh, I love them.
Like, I could eat them, but I don't like them. Like, they're not my favorite.
I got you. It's the zing for me. It's an A. Then it go up. I mean, it's an A. It's an A minus. Mm. then the zing take it to an A.
Okay.
I'll
okay.
do it. Maybe because I'm hungry.
See, I like go to Cheetos, yeah. but not Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Okay. I do love
I like Cheetos.
Cheetos is boring.
Really?
Yeah. If you eat too many
like
of them.
That's like my go-to. Like
if you buy a bag of chips, yeah. a big box, the Cheetos going to be left. I guarantee you.
Never.
No, oh, wait,
no. For us, it's the Cool Ranch Doritos that are left.
We're gonna
you
do.
You playing games?
I'm not kidding you. That's
Child,
what they leave behind.
And buy. Girl, you I better know. Get you some bean dip and go to work.
Mm.
Gushers.
Cool Ranch Doritos These is kids. Sexy. What you talking
it's
about?
Cool.
Jesus real. Mm-hmm.
I like Gushers. I know I'm gonna like these.
Cool, cool, cool. You know,
I used to eat these at lunch.
You know, they have
all the
organic Gushers. They have the organic.
Organic?
The annies.
Why can't I get
my little
these?
Girl do the annies. I'm like, what's the organic around here?
That's what I was about to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, these teeth. Are good for you. No, they're not.
Target has the sugar-free or less sugar Swedish fish.
Mm.
They're gonna.
God.
It's stuck in my throat. I give it like a 6. I love Gushers, but I hate that they get stuck to your teeth.
Right. Yeah, some good.
A grade, a B, a B.
Mm. I give those an A. I like Gushers.
It's stuck in my throat.
The stickiness take it down to a B minus for me.
I don't like that.
The gush is good. It's real soda, and you go out of yeah. The commercial, I like it's yeah. just a surfer wave,
like a waterfall.
Full of water.
Yeah.
No, I thought it's when they like their face turned into a fruit.
Mm.
Oh, is that something else?
No, that is. That's Gushers.
That scared me.
No, you know what used to scare me? Airheads. The Airheads
commercials.
Are
good. Okay.
Hey.
Let's see if these can redeem the
Old
stuck to my
school.
Mouth.
Oh, do you know the fruit by the foot challenge?
No.
You have to try and eat the whole fruit roll up first.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's like, what was the one game kids played?
I don't know.
Where they you put marshmallows in your mouth?
Oh, Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny.
Nah, we ain't never did that one in the neighborhood.
Because you could choke.
Huh?
You could choke.
I ain't do that. It was hard enough to live life.
If you eat your fruit by
games,
the foot
you
by
die.
Unraveling it and then rolling it back up and biting into it, you're a psycho.
What, say that one more time.
I said if you eat your fruit by the foot by like taking the wrapper off, rolling it back up, and then biting it, like chomping into the whole thing, you're a psycho.
I agree. You super nuts. Yeah. You got to lay it out like a little racetrack.
Again, it tastes good, and then it gets
stuck
to
your
teeth.
You got to
snap it off. I have a permanent retainer, and it gets stuck in there.
You still got it on? Oh, it's permanent.
Permanent. Do you still have your permanent retainer on? You know,
these aren't as good as I remember.
Mm-mm. There's something grainy about it.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a C. I remember this time.
Yeah, I'll also give these a C.
It tastes good.
I'm a C minus with no room for extra credit.
Okay.
You can't redeem yourself. What is this? I don't know what this is.
Mystery snack.
Mm.
Oh,
but I'm hungry though.
Oh, gummy
okay,
worms.
Here's the thing I'll never understand. It's not sour.
They're not?
I've never had a sour, what's this called? Gummy worm that was actually sour.
Okay.
You know they're bringing different type of gummy worms to the campers now.
It's a tequila worm.
I don't know nothing.
I'm terrified of worms. This is like, okay,
I'm taking two.
Sour gummy.
I'm gonna give it like a solid B plus.
10.
It's.
These are okay. Wait, no,
never
mind.
You can't do 10. I need.
I forgot it was grades. Hold on. Wait. Okay. I would give it an A, but it's not Trolley brand, so I'm gonna give it a B.
A B. I like that.
Yeah, wrong job.
Are you trying to do the challenge?
Come on, Trisha, faster.
It's like that. It's like the Snapchat filter.
Like the dog filter.
What else do we have? Do we have anything
else?
Is
that everything?
That's it. We did
I get it a B. I get a gummy as a B.
Oh, we didn't
get
the talkies.
We didn't get the talkies. But you know what? We'll eat the talkies for the next episode.
Okay.
We're in front of
Oh, she's almost done. So Trisha is doing the fruit roll-up challenge.
I don't know. She might spit it out.
Hey, don't realize she's spitting out nothing to me. Go ahead and finish that.
Oh,
come on. I'm bragging on you and everything.
It didn't work. That's okay.
I think
it's
the underlining the steward it is.
All right.
They
points
can't
for,
talk about it
points
on the radio.
For effort, Trisha. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you check out our merch and make sure you follow Eddie B and go watch his comedy. It's hilarious. And thank you for watching again. I said that twice anyway. All right, we're done.
Bye bye. Yeah.